During this Lenten season, Holy Mother Church has asked us to reflect on some of the most important covenants in the Old Testament as foreshadowing, prefiguring, and representing the covenant with Jesus in the New Testament. So far, we have looked at the covenants God made with Noah, Abraham, and Moses. On the first Sunday of Lent, we discovered that Jesus is the new Noah who saves us through the waters of baptism in the ark of the Catholic Church. And we were inspired by all the many people who want to get on board the ark of the church at Easter. On the second Sunday of Lent, we saw that Jesus is the new Isaac who carries the wood on his shoulders and willingly consents to being sacrificed on Mount Moriah. When we look at Abraham, we think of God the Father who loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice his own beloved son. And most importantly, Abraham, our father in faith, inspires us to believe in the resurrection from the dead. He inspires us to have faith that God has the power to raise a person even from the dead. Last Sunday, we saw that Jesus is the new Moses who, from the mountain, gives us the new law of love and the blessings of the covenant if only we follow his commandments. And last Sunday, you'll remember, we finished the homily with a cliffhanger. Do you remember? At the end of the homily last week, Moses shouted out the blessings of the covenant from Mount Gerizim and the curses of the covenant from Mount Ebal. And Jesus announced the blessings of the covenant from the mountain of the Beatitudes and the curses of the covenant from Mount Moriah, the Temple Mount. The curses come to those who disobey God, and the blessings come to those who obey the commandments. And we said, "And what do you choose?" And that's how we left it. Before we get to that question, what did the people of the Bible choose? The blessings or the curses? They chose the curses. They chose to disobey the commandments. This is what the inspired chronicler records for us in today's first reading. All the princes of Judah, that is, all those living in and around Jerusalem, all the princes of Judah, the priests and the people, added infidelity to infidelity. In other words, the people over and over and over and over again were unfaithful to their end of the covenant with God. They practiced all the abominations that the pagan nations were practicing. They polluted the Lord's temple by offering sacrifices to false gods, and they weren't keeping the Sabbath day holy. So, early and often, early, before it was too late, and often, several times, again and again and again, early and often, God sent messengers to them. Why? Because God had compassion on his people. He had mercy on the people, and he wanted them to convert and change their lives. But how did the people react to God's rescue mission? They mocked the messengers of God, despised his warnings, and scoffed at the prophets. Sin and unfaithfulness have negative consequences. And so because of their unfaithfulness, the Babylonians came and burnt the house of God. They burnt the temple. They tore down the walls of Jerusalem, set all its palaces on fire, and destroyed all its precious objects. Imagine if a group of people came in and destroyed our beautiful church and stole all the chalices and the tabernacle and the monstrance. Imagine. But that's what happened to the Jews in Jerusalem. God saw that there was no other option than to send the people into exile into Babylon for 70 years. We know it today as the Babylonian exile. Today's psalm, Psalm 137, is one of the psalms that the people wrote during their exile. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and wept. Our captors asked us to sing a joyful song to the Lord, but they couldn't even sing the blues during their Babylonian exile. How could we possibly sing on alien soil? They couldn't. And so they hung up their harps. And then, after 70 years of exile, the Babylonians were defeated by the Persians. And in that very first year of the reign of King Cyrus, the Lord inspired King Cyrus of Persia to issue a decree. It's known as the Edict of Cyrus. And the inspired chronicler records the edict for us. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, "All the kingdoms of the earth the Lord, the God of heaven, has given to me, and he has also charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem. Whoever among you belongs to any part of his people, let him go up to Jerusalem, and may his God be with him." And so, after 70 years of exile in Babylon for their unfaithfulness and idolatry, the people are free from their exile. Can you imagine what it must have been like for the captives to learn they were going home after 70 years? A new beginning and a fresh start. Now that we've been studying how to read the Old Testament to see how it prefigures, represents, and foreshadows the New Testament, how does this foreshadow, prefigure, and represent Jesus? You probably figured out how to crack the code by now, right? Cyrus was king of Persia, but Jesus is king of the universe. King Cyrus says, "All the kingdoms of the earth the Lord has given to me." And Jesus says, "Full authority has been given to me, both in heaven and on earth." King Cyrus was commanded to build a house in Jerusalem. House is the biblical way of saying a temple or a kingdom. And Jesus Christ the King was charged by his Father to build a house, a new dwelling place, a kingdom beginning in Jerusalem and reaching to the ends of the earth. Cyrus, the king of Persia, was the savior of the people from their exile. And Jesus, the king of the universe, is the savior of his people from their exile to God, from God. Cyrus frees the people from captivity. And according to St. Paul, even when we were dead in our transgressions, even when we were in exile and could no longer do anything for ourselves, we were brought to life in Christ Jesus. He freed us from sin. He saved us from captivity. And he gave us a new beginning. And the people went home to Jerusalem after 70 years. And it happens for us at Easter after 70 days. Remember, there was a pre-Lenten season called Septuagesima, meaning 70 days. You see, in addition to the 40 days of Lent, there were also three penitential Sundays before Ash Wednesday in order to get us ready for Lent so that we could have a symbolic number of 70 days to represent the 70 years of the Babylonian exile. You see, these 70 days are significant. After the 70 days of Lent, which represent the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity, many souls come home to the Catholic Church through baptism, confirmation, and Holy Communion. Almost everyone describes the experience of coming into the Catholic Church as coming home. Isn't this inspiring? You see, this is our story. This is my story. It's the story of exile and return. So what did you choose? You thought I forgot. What did you choose? Did you choose the blessings or the curses of the covenant last week? Did I actually do what I said I was going to do? I firmly resolve with the help of thy grace to sin no more. Did I do it? How often I chose the curses of the covenant. How often we add infidelity to infidelity. How often we don't observe the Sabbath day as a day of rest. How often we pollute the Lord's temple by offering during the rest of the week sacrifices to false gods. How often we do not listen to the pastors and the bishops the Lord sends us, and instead we mock them, despise their warnings, and scoff at them. And because of our sins, there are negative consequences. The consequence of sin is spiritual exile from God. Sin makes us captives. And yet, when we confess our sins honestly and humbly in the sacrament of penance, Christ the King issues a decree. He says, "You're free to go home to the house of your Father." After a good, honest, humble confession, we're like the exiles coming home. After confession, we can truly say, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last." It's a new beginning.